Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. All right, we've got plenty of time to the top of the hour now because all the commercials decide they're just going to run themselves. So the gremlins and the board get us from time to time. And, you know, it's one of those things with live, it happens, and you just have to roll with it. So thank you for putting up with, I don't know, like, you know, 10 minutes of commercials or whatever. Just things happen, right? All right, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, I've really thought about this week because we're just kind of rolling along, and I don't even know what to talk about. What can I share, you know? The market's at all-time highs, and you know, people are up like 70% from the lows a year ago. 70. It's so life-changing. And I want to talk about that. I'm going to do that a little bit in the second hour. But it's also one of those things where, you know, this is an important lesson. But also kind of lost in all that is the fact that so many people have sat this out. So many people have sat it out 5 years ago for... Maybe they don't like Donald Trump. They didn't like that election heading into 16. Got to get out. It's too terrible. And what if she wins? She's probably going to win. I can't be in. There's just this endless stream of negativity. There always is. And it really struck me as I was thinking about this with us all rolling along here. Because we are rolling, right? I looked at an account not long ago. You know, I was looking at it and it was like, you know, just looking at the performance, right? Because somebody was questioning a couple of performance things, and I looked at it and I went, you know, it's up like 80%. 80%. And I just reflected on it. And I was like, wow. Now, that's a weird number, right? Because it totally is. Because that's like from the bottom, right? And that's... But it's a big number. And it was a big decision point people made. And I don't think we fully grasp sometimes this underlying truth. And it's true about everything in life. But it has certainly been true my whole life and my ancestors' whole lives. Is that when it comes to investing and it comes to the stock market particularly, the greatest creative destruction mechanism in the whole wide world has ever seen. Here's a company over here, WorldCom and Enron. Boom, they blow up. But it was replaced by a Google or an Amazon and others. Just incredible how we just keep... moving forward with ever-changing businesses. Some of them stick around for decades, for 100 years. Procter & Gamble keeps raising its dividend for all of people's lives. It's an insane, incredible money machine, right? They make soap, right? I know they've expanded into diapers and things, but you get the point. This whole mechanism of creative stuff, that the only realism is optimism. It's the only realism. And yet, when you talk to people, you listen to the news, you listen to the commentators, and there's I'm really worried about some insignificant minutia of some kind. Just nothing. When it's taken in the context of, if you will, a lifetime of investing or a retirement era of investing. I'm really worried. And we get so focused on the minutia. I mean, how many times, for example, do we see Jim Cramer with his head on the desk? Oh, this Ebola thing. We're never going to get... The market can't go anywhere until Ebola is... Of course, that marked the bottom. You know, it was, oh, until the Fed gets a... unless we inject more... It's just constant barfing of what's wrong in this minutious second, this little tiny thing. And we lose sight of the workings of how things just over time work out. Right? I mean, if you played all the clips, you just wouldn't hear somebody say, well, how you feeling today? I'm feeling pretty good about the long-term prospects here. You know, this is America. We are in the most productive time in human history. Every time you turn around, there's an amazing breakthrough of some kind. We just did vaccines in a year. Never happened before. We're about to reopen the economy here. Even the lockdown states. Someday we may actually educate our kids again. It's possible. It's possible that teachers will go back to the classroom. Outside of private school, of course. Because the wealthy kids, they got to be able to educate their kids. It's the poor kids. We got to keep them poor, you know, poor and dependent on us or the government, because otherwise, you know, how are we going to control everybody? Someday that's all going to change. And that's all that's happening. But what do you hear? Pounding, 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 pounding. It's bad. It's this. I'm worried about that. I'm worried about new taxes here. I am too. Different fight. Different fight. We need to fight those things. But what it causes us when we just don't take this overriding thought with us is it just diminishes our ability to see the great advancement that society is making. And it is. You don't have to agree with things politically. I most of the time don't. I find politicians to be non-sincere, by and large, power-mongering people. I don't like it. I like straight-up, honest business people that are just like, we got to go get the job done. Let's go do it. If I serve my customers better, if I can serve my constituency better, then we're going to do great. But we don't hear that. Okay, so these people paid me money, this one over here, as a party, we need to vote. Okay, thank you very much. That's good. Government's the answer. Good. Okay, got it. Here's my vote. Good job, loyal servant to the party. It's not for us. But in spite of all that, look what happens. We boom. We go through these tough times. And then on the other side, we're better. The breakthroughs that are happening in medicine are just, like, unbelievable. Now, I'm not a scientist, and I don't pretend to be. I'm not an epidemiologist, which is the big word of every, you know. Let me say anything I want. And I'll just preface it with, I'm not an epidemiologist, but. So I get what I'm saying here is the same thing that a lot of people are saying. My opinion. But what I try to do is just bring you data. And one of the reasons why we've been optimistic through the pandemic is that the data showed we were getting on top of it. It always did. But it became a political issue. That is, it's important for us to be able to see through those things. All of us. Or how do you make good decisions about investments? About starting a business, buying a home in a pandemic? If we're not looking at data, if we put everything in a filter of our own politics, how do we have clarity for what's really happening? We honestly don't. And it's a really difficult thing, I think, for most people, maybe all people, to not filter all the news, all the data, all the good or bad news through the filter of what we want to believe at the time and what the cause of that was. So as we look at this, and we see, if you could just grab this thought for a moment and pretend that over top of everything, as we're making long-term plans, not just this millisecond plans, Maybe it would be a good idea to run our retirement plan not by the seat of our pants and change every day, okay? So I'm going to make assumptions that the important decisions in our life are all long-term, thoughtful, hopefully non-emotional, not investments, but plans. So as we're making our investment plans for long-term, are we really focusing on today's news, or are we trying to think of it long-term? And if we put over top of that, that the only realism is optimism, it changes the way we see it, does it not? If we were going to actually sit back and go, well, given today's news, I don't think we should plan for a college education for my children. It's just so bad. Or I don't want to have kids. It's so bad. I can't believe how angry and awful this world is. I'm not going to put a nickel away for my retirement. I'm sure I'm going to die. Or they're just going to take it all away. All of those things that have not come true, by the way, is what overrides that, unless we come in with the first thought is that things are going to work out in the long run. Politics are cyclical. The people I want may not be in charge right now. The people that are really awful and believe in bigger government and less freedom might be. They have before. And then we've had periods where they weren't. If whoever's in office is always changing my attitude of where we really are and where my long-term plan is, I'm going to be a basket case and very susceptible to all of the ads. Buy gold. We're getting into inflationary environment. It's all over. You got to buy gold. That's gone on for my entire investment career, which unbelievably is now 40 years. Or, of course, we've got the equity index annuity pitch, right? Where we just safe. It's guaranteed. Safe. Okay. We're susceptible if what we believe is that everything will end in a permanent way. Market corrections are certain to occur all over and over again all the days of our lives. That's what happens. It's what they do. And when we take a step back, we go, wow, that is a great opportunity to buy a great corporation at a little bit of a discount. I'm in. But that's not what people do. If it's not real good for today, we worry about it getting even worse tomorrow. Human nature. Again, we're susceptible if we don't override this with this whole idea that the only realism is optimism. Not about every outcome in our life, but about the long-term outcome of humankind's progression, which is what the markets are about. That's what I'm here about, right? I mean, I think it flows over in everything in our life. I really do. You know, I just tell you honestly, it's one of those things that just, I've been struggling a little bit lately. I have, on a personal level. Had something that kind of happened, and it was just one of those things that just struck me to the core. I mean, it just, my poor wife, she knows it's hurt me on a very deep personal level. And I find myself kind of bouncing between this and not seeing the world clearly. And being frustrated with little things. And not seeing the realism. That things are going to work out the way they're supposed to. Because they do. And if we don't have that we can come back to, because we're not machines. We get hurt. And it affects us. And we can't take that into the markets. We can't with decisions like that. I'm not saying I or anybody is going to not have hurts. We all have hurts. But we can't take that to our investments. We can't. Because we're continuing to progress. All right. Obviously, we're out of time. I want to talk some more about this. I'm going to talk about the record highs. Again, record highs. It's unbelievable. And focusing again on the long term. I hope you'll join us. And by the way, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be back after Fox News for hour number two. Thanks again for joining us. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And of course, as I always like to say, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we are not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. And that, I feel very strongly, leads us further from the truth. The more information we get, the less wisdom we seem to have. And I heard somebody talk about this. I think it was a caller a couple weeks ago. And I'm sorry if I think it was Terry. And it's just an important point for us to remember. And thanks for that memory, Terry. It was, for a long time, I've talked about the four stages, if you will, of information, right? And so data first. Data is just that constant thing that happens. We get some piece of data on our cell phone, constant all day long, you know, just constant, beating it in to us. It's just data. Unless you have some kind of context, you really have some background, some education, if you will, it's nothing more than a data point. See, if we don't have a reference, for example, and you just said something like, the sun is 93 million miles away from Earth. Well, I don't even know what that means. Is that a long ways? Is it a short ways? Can I get there tomorrow? What, you know, if you don't have a, it's just a piece of data that has absolutely no bearing. And you may think that's an important point, but it's not. It's so much data is now turned into information. Okay? Well, information is just like some context. All right, okay, I understand how far a mile is. It takes 4 minutes by the speed of light to get here. That's a long ways. It'd be hard to get there in a day, right? Can't travel at the speed of light. I understand that, but it just really doesn't have that much relevance. So now knowledge, if I understood the solar system better, I was a scientist, I'd understand all that. And so we have these three stages so far, right? Data, information, knowledge. Pretty good to have some knowledge in that area, right? Knowledge about finance. I really know what I'm talking about. And you know what? I do, right? No false humility. I know what I'm talking about in finance. I do. I have a lot of knowledge. The real question, though, right, is how far away, how much data are we using, right? Not even knowledge, but data, or maybe a little bit of information. And we think it's wisdom, and we make our decisions. And I would venture to say that knowledge is so far from wisdom, right? That, can you imagine how far knowledge is from just the data that people make decisions on? Wow, on a whim. We do that all the time, and it's really important that we pull our brains into this to really stop and think about, am I being wise? Is this based on knowledge, or is it based on emotion when I'm making my decisions? And that's what we want to try to grow together in, right? And to think of things on a long-term basis, not a short-term buy, sell. I like this example, and I'm going to give you a few today because as I started today's program, talking about long-term and the only realism is optimism, I want to, first, let me put it in this context. That statement in my mind is as true as anything else. It is just so true. Things work out. Certainly as a society. They always have. Not perfectly, but certainly better than the news of the day ever tells you. It does. But I want to say this. What we're doing in this country with raising taxes, increasing government as the answer, has never worked in any society ever. Sounding good, but delivering evil or bad. We care a lot about the kids. We just won't educate them in a classroom. How many 15, 16-year-old minority kids ain't ever coming back? They were hanging by a thread. Now, it's okay because all of the folks that have money that make these decisions, their kids are in private school. And somehow, weirdly, those classrooms were open and safe. Weird. I get this is wrong on every level, and people pretending that teachers' unions are about kids. They're not. That politicians are about the poor people. And yet for 50 years, the cities have continued to spiral into a sewer. That we're really all about just, you know, good retirement programs for all the people. You mean, what you mean are the public service unions people, not all people, that have ruined the finances of the big cities and states. And that more of that is the answer? That's absurd. It's just wrong on every single level. I get that, and it hurts my heart. But overriding all of that, fight that fight. Help people understand that government is not the solution, people are. Government is the problem, always has been, in every society in all of history. Always. It always leads to corruption. It always leads to wrong outcomes. Always. And we don't want to do that. But we don't want to see the world, as so many do, in a frustrated, angry way where we make negative decisions, negative-based decisions. I'm not going to invest right now because, fill in the blank. I think the market's overpriced. That's the most common thing people say all the time, based on nothing. Nothing more than data, not wisdom, not knowledge, just data. They heard it somewhere. And so they parroted it. Walk, 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 walk. Market's too high. Market's too high. Walk, walk, walk. Now, and that's not even the people that are the purveyors of bad products, okay? That's not the purveyors of scare you to death, but we've got a guarantee over here. Give me your money. High commissions. Okay, I got it. That's not them. It's everything. Because bad news sells. The sky is falling. Gets your attention. The sky is beautiful blue. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. Things are good. When do people listen to Money Matters? A lot. When do people listen to CNBC? A lot. Right? When things are in turmoil. When things are good, it's all right. Let's go enjoy the day. It's when it's rough, tough. And we got to steel ourselves against that and not make those decisions. So there's two different things. My heart hurts, yes. Fight that fight. And don't misunderstand. I don't see the world as perfect. Life isn't perfect. At times it's hard. And your life may be having a really even a life-ending struggle. We all will face that. That's not to be insensitive that real people have real problems, but I'm saying as a society to see that this will not work out has just simply never been true. And it keeps people, there's literally tens of trillions of dollars sitting in the sidelines, earning zero. Waiting for what? I don't know. To what end? A little bit of erosion. I'm worried about inflation. Well, why are you sitting on cash? It doesn't earn anything. So it just like goes down by inflation. Well, I'm worried about, hyperinflation or what? Fill in the blank. It's all true. We get caught in that. Instead of investing on a long-term basis, Okay? A couple quick examples before we go to a caller here. How do you have, for example, and you know I like to use Apple because it's the biggest company in the world. Everybody has one in their pocket, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you know, I know you're saying, I know, I have Google or I have Samsung or whatever. But we all know the company, and they've done an amazing job. They changed the world with the iPhone. They totally did. Totally changed the world. And how many times have you heard with the data points, okay, the information? Some of them had knowledge. They were experts on technology. They weren't wise. Because here's what they said. On the way to a 20-fold increase when the iPhone came out. Here's what they said. The iPhone 4 or the iPhone 5 or the 6 or the Plus and the camera and the this is not nearly as good. And there's no way they're going to sell as many as last year. And they've reached the price point they can't. Their margins were lower. Their this was lower. They are really not getting enough revenue out of fill in the blanks. And who's going to be buying very many Macs in the future? I don't know what Apple's going to be doing here. Now they've just gutted their iPod business because they have now put it on the phone. And nobody's going to spend $1,000 for a phone. You got to be kidding me. And without the subsidies here and there, this is on and on every single quarter, on and on. The only way you have $1,000 turn into $20,000 is because you owned it. You didn't trade it. All of that noise helped encourage people to trade, to see the bad, to miss the forest through the trees. Don't even see it. You don't see the magic of compounding. You don't see the magic of growing a base of users. Don't see the magic of 99 cents a month times millions of people. And I want another 99-cent thing. I need more storage. I need more this. I need more that. I'm never leaving Apple. They have all my stuff. They keep it private. I'm never going anywhere else. Don't want to. I'm staying. Nobody sees the magic of that. It's this isn't going to work. That's not going to work. Here's this. And they all sound really smart. And we miss it. It's not just Apple. It's all around us. We miss it. What's going to happen with this corporate tax increase? On and on and on and on. And we miss. We're reopening right now. That's what we're doing. We're reopening right now. All right. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Well, Dave, you're talking to one person that doesn't have an apple in his pocket. I do have an apple in my freezer, however.
Your freezer, you're going to kill the app. You don't put it in the freezer, you're for the refrigerator.
Well, like what you said, people have their lives on their devices, mm-hmm. you know, and that is losing, to a large extent, control. But anyway, you were mentioning that things work out. As I reflect over my life, you know, I don't think I could have scripted it any better. Things have worked out. And thanks to God and a brigade of guardian angels and all this, anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm one, and I don't like to use the word luck or circumstances, but anyway, I've been extremely blessed, and I'm hunky-dory, and things are great.
Well, and that's a healthy attitude is what I think you do. I mean, you approach the day, if you will, as best you can, you know?
Well, you know, the thing, I'm optimistic, but I'm also, as you know, extremely cynical, too.
Yes, well, I do know that, yes.
I'll tell you, you know, there's one of my guiding principles, I think, is the first line in the Rudyard Kipling poem, If. If you can keep your head while all those about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. In my case, if you can refrain from buying Apple when everybody around you is buying Apple, you know, Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you don't find the if you don't follow the unwashed masses, you'll be ahead of the game.
That's almost always true. It's certainly true in investing. It really is. You know, if you don't follow the crowd, you tend to do a little bit better.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't know. A lot of things in the world I don't like, you know, the way things are so-called progressing, I think is asinine and wrong and this and the other. I do realize, however, that I can't do anything about it, so I just tool down, you know, tiptoe through the tulips on my own and let the world do what it does, and I'll do what I do.
That's true. All right. Well, I appreciate it, Jim, and
well,
you keep
anyway,
that optimistic
hang
smile.
In there and be optimistic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, you bet. All
and
right.
I just like to collect, you know, rather than collecting baseball cards, I collect $100 lots of stocks.
I know you do. And I think that's just wonderful. I just picture this massive, you know, at least massive number of different companies that
well,
you
I
own.
Well, I do. I've got about 100 now, or 100, over 100.
Yeah.
I've got my own mutual fund.
All right, I got to ask you this quick question. It has to be quick because I got to go to a break. But seriously, do you ever sell?
The only thing I would have sold was Carnival a while back. I think they're unethical and this, that, and the other. But I don't. I mean, I've got some real losers. But one thing about it, if you've got a loser, you never know if somebody else, some other company, is going to buy them. I mean, I had this guy, you know, that was buying Planar a while back. Kept buying Planar, and it kept going down. I had 6,600 shares of Planar. Finally, I sold all but 2,500 shares. It took about 10 to 15 years, but then some other company bought them, and if I'd have kept all those shares, I'd have gained big time.
Mm.
So,
gotcha.
So, I mean, something may be a loss, but eventually somebody may buy them, or it may turn into a big win, so you never know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's another segment for another time. There's a lot packed in that little statement.
But I generally just don't sell. I don't have any reason to sell. I don't need the money, so there's no reason for me to sell anything.
Yep, I understand. All right, well, I just made a note for another show. Okay.
Talk to you later.
Jim, have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We got to take a quick break, and I do hope you'll join us. All lines are available. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And, of course, we'd love to have you join us live at 580-KIDO. You know, one of the things, too, that we know a lot of people listen on podcast. And so for those of you who are, feel free to shoot us an email as well. And let us know what you like or don't like, what you want, any topics for us to be addressing. And we'll certainly try to do that. And also our email here is dave@petsofinancial.net. That's our live email. You can also reach us all the time at Petso Financial. And we're right now kind of cleaning up a discussion on equity indexed annuities so that people can just kind of go to that. It's just something we want to get away from. I know people have questions. There's a lot of bad information out there, I know, and people want to have those explanations. But we've started up kind of doing a YouTube channel. Not kind of, we are. And we're kind of getting off into different areas of education now. We're starting, Jennifer Stone and Erica Mutch are starting to do some YouTube videos for beginning investors, right? And my 10 investment commandments are out there. We did a walk when the Dow hit 30,000. And these are all for education broadly. And so we think we're getting better at it. We hope we are. And so it's not just like recording a Zoom meeting. We do that too, but that's so that clients can watch it whenever. For example, next week we're going to be doing one, and it'll be out there on our YouTube channel in the future. But it's actually going to be on aging. So we've got a national speaker, doctor. She's going to be speaking to our clients, and we'll have that recorded. So we're getting a lot of different sources. So come on out and visit our website and pick up a little bit of educational material, if you would. All right, I've been focused here. Let me give you a couple minutes. I've got to catch up a little bit here, and we're going to have to break here in a moment. I always like to pull this little chart out once in a while. It's not a little chart. It's a big chart. because it goes back to an old mutual fund that multiple generations have run. It runs with lots and lots of different investment advisors. And it's got a great story. It's not one we use a whole lot of, right? It's there. But it's the greatest story of how markets work through so many periods of time. I pull this out, and I pull it out on my desk by myself to reflect on it, to reiterate what that must have been like when the Cold War just began. What it must have been like to hear people talk about how the market was way too high at Dow 300. What it would have been like to look up in the sky and see what later was found out to be Sputnik circling the Earth, and it was something we couldn't do, defend against. We'd fallen behind. An adversary that had nuclear weapons pointed at us. You know, we talk about that now like it wasn't a big deal, but when I grew up, we put our heads under the desk. You all, I can hear people out there remembering that, nodding. Like we had special protection on our school desks as kids. I mean, nobody was like literally like, I need a cuddle thing because I need a cuddle thing. But that was a real world fear. And it was real. And we spent trillions of dollars over the years to not be taken over by the Soviet Union. And the market keeps marching, right? We had the Cuban Missile Crisis. Boy, was that ever real. And now we've got a bunch of leftists that want to turn us into socialists. We'll get through this. We'll get through this. They're wrong. You know that. But don't let it keep us from moving forward, right? And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And on and on for 86 years. And we can go to all the details that, you know, what $10,000 grows to at 10 and 11% compounded rates of return in spite of multiple corrections, bear markets, dozens of each. Dozens of cumulatively, for sure. Dozens and dozens of 5 and 10% corrections that nowadays, when they happen, you would think CNBC, now, what's going on in the markets? Tune in some more. We've only talked to you for 12 hours. Let's go. Let's keep going into the evening. We got to scare people. We got to take advantage of it. Why they're scared? They watch. Leads us down the wrong thought process. And that's why we have to hang on to that optimism. All right, I got to take a quick break. John, you hang on. I'm going to grab you on the other side. I don't want to just take 1 minute here. And we got to get back on track. We've got Fox News. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. John, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm kind of calling on behalf of the silent majority that are out there, and maybe between you and I, we can help set people's fears aside on what's going on with all-time market highs that just kind of give people a sense of apprehension about continuing to put into the market.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge advocate for dollar cost averaging, but I'm sure that a lot of people are just trying to grasp in their heads some equilibrium of how high is up and why should I keep throwing money in when markets are at all-time highs. Then they probably equate it to the housing market, where at what point in time do things settle down and start to level off?
It's a fair point, and you're right. And first of all, dollar cost averaging mathematically is sheer genius. It's like it's another miracle of investing, right? It's like compound interest. It works all the time, always. And mathematically, it fits, right? It's not just one of those things you look at it and anecdotally, yeah, it seems to work okay. It mathematically works, and it, of course, works out, therefore, because it is
it's just beautiful in the sense you don't have to figure anything out, except when markets go down, you buy more, and when they go up, you buy less. And it works out perfect to give you an average price lower. So what you're talking about, John, for those that don't know, is you're just talking about a regular investment plan. You put in your $500 a month or $100 a month or whatever, and you just keep doing it no matter what the market does. And it averages your price lower than the average price in the market over that period, by definition. So good. I appreciate
Correct.
That. But also, go ahead.
And then so when people are looking at, let's say that they've got, let's say for somebody who's sitting on some money that they've been saving, and they look at, you know, like yesterday, I think it almost touched 34, or it's pretty close to 34 on the Dow.
Yep.
They're looking at their money in their bank account, and they're thinking, why should I throw my $10,000 at the market now?
And I think that that's a very fair point, but I also always have to go back and I have to say, okay, what if you had bought in 2007? It's okay.
Right.
It worked out, because the reality was is that in 08, people weren't putting money in. They were wanting to take it out, and many did. Many did. So let's not pretend that you would have now, looking back in hindsight, said, yeah, beginning of 09, I probably would have stepped up and taken my money out of the savings account and put it in. No, you wouldn't have, because people didn't do that. And you're not going to get it right twice. And so as I look at that and I say different periods over the last 40 years, I mean, when I started, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was the last place anybody wanted to put money. Seriously. Interest rates were 21.5%. That's prime lending rate. The very first year I was in the industry. It was 1980. And I took any job because when I moved to Boise, the job I thought I was going to get fell through. And so I was digging ditches. I literally shoveled, you know, sheep doo-doo out of a barn just so I could eat. And while I was getting a license. And so this is how bad it was. And the last thing you'd be thinking about, let's go ahead and throw some money in the market. It was 800. What people were talking about was $800 an ounce gold at the time. And of course, now we know gold is nominally 1700, 1800. And the Dow without dividends is at 30-some thousand. This is the story as it goes on and on and on and on all of my life. In 1987, the market crashed. It was too high. Then it wasn't. And then it took off. And all of those things are all true, but we can always measure whether it was, you know, I talked earlier about people saying that the Dow was too high at 300. The Dow was too high at 3,000, at 5, at 10. At 20, at 17, at every point in between, it's too high. But what I do know is that the Dow will be at 50,000 and 100,000 if I don't even live to a normal life expectancy, it will. What I can't tell you is, are we going to revisit 25,000 on the Dow before we hit 50? And you think you're going to time that, just like timing a trade in Apple? You're going to get in, you're going to get out, you're going to get in, GameStop, play that game. I know you like the action. I do too. I love nothing more than a hot craps game. It's fun, right? It's fun. But do I think that that's how you play? Like, I'm going to guess it's going to be a 6 or an 8 and then I'm going to get out. No, it's not how it works. You just lose your money over time, but you have fun. And this is not gambling to me. This is getting money in like you're talking about. Dollar cost average in, play the long game, and you win 100% of the time. Everybody has always won 100% of the time. It has been foolproof. Sitting around wondering means you missed out from 20,000 to 25 to 30 and so on. And every once in a while, you felt like you were pretty smart because the market gave you like a 10% correction. And then at the beginning of the pandemic here, you felt really super smart because it went down 30% in the fastest bear market in history. Unfortunately, or fortunately for everybody else, it also turned around and became the fastest bull market in history, and we never looked back. In spite of elections, I'm worried about that. In spite of then the Georgia thing, I'm worried about that. And in spite of terrible policies, the market keeps hitting all-time highs. We have to at some point stop and say, look, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I've been wrong. I need to just go ahead and change my direction now instead of being stubborn. I know we're all stubborn. We all are. But human nature says at some point in time, I'm wrong. I've been wrongly negative all the time. I figure out what's wrong and why I shouldn't invest. And I've missed on the easiest wealth accumulator the world has ever seen. And that's sad to me. Fear sells, though. I get it. It's an uphill battle. John, thank you. I really appreciate your call today. That was a nice discussion. Thank you. Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a great rest of the day.
You too.
Bye now. And I do have to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we got Terry Lee Joe. You hang on, and we will be right back at 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and once again, thanks for joining us. Don't forget about our YouTube. Don't forget about our podcasts, and you can check all that out at PetsoFinancial.com, or, of course, YouTube is PetsoFinancial under YouTube. All right, let's go to the phones fast. Let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Oh, good morning, Professor. How you doing?
I'm well, sir. Thank you. Actually, you know what? I'm a lot better than when I walked in this morning.
Well, good. That's what we're here for, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Anyway, I was going over listening earlier on and reflected back on all the great people I met out at the Guard. Mm-hmm. And there was a gentleman out there named Dr. Wallace Pond, and he was a psychologist. And he always, again, an aphorism, he always said, there's something I can do about it and nothing to worry about, or nothing I can do about it and nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of puts everything in perspective. Well, okay, what can I do? What? Oh, nothing. Okay, well, let's go do something constructive then.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's good. What is it? The Alcoholics Anonymous thing is very similar to that, right? It's God gave me the wisdom to change what I can change, and the wisdom to accept what I cannot.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and well, and there was another rabbi slash mentor out there, Don Dustin, who would always say, well, he's got his default switch set to the pissed off position. Don't be him.
I think in certain things we all do. I know. That's what I meant. You know, it was like one of those things I was this morning just kind of beating myself up over some stuff, and I just was like, eh.
What, anyway. Why give them the power?
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. You know,
those woke people can't affect my day. Or as, again, that survival podcast guy Jack Spirko says, that does not change the temperature in the water of my pool 1 degree.
That's right. That's true. But they can get in your head, and that's the thing, right? They can only ruin your day. They can't.
Well, who lets them?
That's right, by letting them in.
Somewhere along the line, it's always my fault.
Yeah. That's right. Well, it is, because we let it in, right?
Yeah. On investing, though, the diversification, that's the word we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're diversified, and I'm jealous of Jim. I wish I would have kept, you know, $100 of all the stocks that I've bought and sold over the years.
Yeah. It's a fascinating thing when you think about all of that. In this book I told you, talked about earlier, there's also a little chart in here of the value of all the stocks in the Dow over the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I think in their case, they talk about it being a $10,000 and what it's worth. And it is interesting because companies come and go.
Right. Well, American Funds used to put out a pamphlet. I've still got a copy in my file somewhere of Louis the Loser, who invested on the worst day of the year, or the highest part of the market before the worst crash, and what his $10,000 did over 20 years.
Exactly. I'm going to talk. I am going to talk about that next week because I'm looking at Louis the Loser. He's in the same book. So there
right.
you go.
Well, now I got to get back to something sad here, though.
Okay.
What's the definition of a blow up off top, and when are we going to have one with this hot market?
Yeah, it's a fair question, and the answer is I don't know, and nobody does, and everybody's been calling for that for a long, long time. And the only way I can look at it is this: if the economic news continues to be good, and if all stocks aren't going up in some straight line, and they're not. Okay, so
right.
we have a bifurcated market. We had all the value stocks trying to play catch up. Now we got back to the tech stocks here in the last little bit. As long as the market isn't just straight up all the time, the S&P futures open up every day, and there seems to be reasoning behind what's going on, I'm okay with it. It's money going where it needs to go. because putting it in zero interest cash is a money losing thing. In real terms, we lose to inflation every year. Number one, who's going to buy a 1.7% 10-year treasury? I don't know. Some people do, but I don't think that's a winning formula by any stretch. And so you're really looking at stocks soaking up the most. People can make an argument about real estate, but it's not a liquid investment. You can't go in and out of, so people don't. But anyway,
right.
Go ahead.
You big money managers, you know, rotate through up the wall of worry is sort of the way I look at it.
Yeah, well, and it's true. It is true. And as far as a blow off top, if we don't have a 40% rise or something from here, we're not going to see it. If we continue to grind higher, that's not a blow off. That's just a optimistic, more money coming in type of market.
Right. Well, okay. Well, I've babbled on long enough here.
I appreciate your call. Terry, have a great day.
We'll talk to you, sir. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye
now. Let's go to LeJoe. LeJoe, go ahead.
Hey, so if you dump $1.7 trillion or $1.9 trillion of magic money into the economy and the Federal Reserve is the one that's always buying those bonds because nobody else will, and yeah, I look at the price of lumber, the $3 2x4 is $8 and $15 sheet of plywood is $60. Not to be Debbie Downer here, but nobody's covering inflation. I mean, in every sector, it's what do you see happening?
Massive
inflation and no responsibility by the Fed.
Yeah,
to shut it down.
I totally agree. I don't think they're on the right track at all, and I can't even imagine that I've said it less than at least 10 times in the last couple months.
How does that affect the stock market? I am very worried
about long-term inflation. I'm not worried about short-term because we're not seeing any kind of a multiplier effect through the what's called velocity of money through the system. It's not right now. But in the long run, we will. And we are seeing it in commodities. It's real. Inflation is real. And it's going to cut margins for business or... it's going to raise expenses greatly. And in the long run, when we start doing minimum wages at too high a level, we're going to have a much higher unemployment rate because they're going to automate, which again will then turn around and drive prices back down. It's really because of inflation that we're seeing this, LeJoe, that we are seeing technology. We're not seeing inflation because of technology is what I'm trying to say. It just keeps driving the costs down. And when we think about what all of the computing power did to bring us a vaccine in a year, that's accelerating. It's not, we see things linear. Not exponential. And that's part of our the way our human brain works. And it's very hard to see that technology continuing to work. This is why when somebody tells me, well, aren't you worried about resources? No. I was told the world would be orange when I'm older. It's not. And that's not because humans did a darn thing other than technology kept going, right? And everything's cleaner. And that's going to fix everything again. We don't have to pretend.
What do you see, though, with the velocity of money versus just the Fed dumping money in? Isn't that a substitute for the velocity of money?
No, it's not. It's keeping rates low because they're dumping it in by buying the bonds, right? I mean, they're just keeping rates low because it's not like they just dump it in, right? But they're buying the bonds, and then the money is sitting in the banks, which is one of the reasons why the too big to fail just made them bigger, because they just sit there on more and more and more cash. And if rates stay low, then that's fine because it helps borrowing, if you will, and it's driving housing and everything else.
So the borrowing is going to run that velocity of money up, correct?
Oh, it can, and it just hasn't so far. I'm not saying it won't. Don't get me wrong. Like I've said, I think that inflation is our problem to come. I do. I don't think you get away with this. I don't think that you can get away forever of just spending money you don't have. It's just not true. We will have a price to pay. It will reside with our children and grandchildren, unfortunately, for them.
I don't think you get away with it for 3 or 8 more months the way it's going with real inflation.
Well,
going like it's going.
It might still be,
like I said, not being covered by the media because Joe Biden's president. It's insane what you got to go through, And I know we're in the fastest. I've got 4,000 house lots to build in 7 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. But I know we're in the fastest economy for housing there is out here. But
yep.
Even at that, it's a national problem.
And it will continue to be. Right now, it's not. That's tomorrow's problem. We just don't know how far it is till tomorrow. Keep tuned. I got to go.
Thank you for your call.
You. Andy, I'll grab you off air. So thank you again. And for everyone for tuning in. And if you have any comments or questions, that's petsofinancial.com. We also have our podcast there. Thank you again for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.